Masechet Shabbat in memory of Marcel and Jack Shasho. Ruach Adonai Tanichim Began Eden. Amen.
Daf Mem. Today's daf has been dedicated by Jerry Harari and family in memory of his brother Yosef Ben Simcha. Shenftar b'kitzur yamim v'shanim. Ruach Hashem Tanichenu Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf also is being learned לרפואה שלמה נזהה בת שרה שמחה אין נערפן עלה בתוך שער חולי ישראל אמן and עילו נשמת אברהם בן אסתר and רבי ברוך רפאל בן מרים רוח השם תניחם בגן עדן. We are starting on Daf Mem, four lines from the top, and the Gemara says Itmar. We have an Amoraic statement. Hamin shu hamu me'ereb Shabbat. You have water that was heated from Friday. Rav Amar lemachar ruchetz bein kol gufo ever. Rav comes along and says that you're able to wash your entire body with that water on Shabbat, but not in one shot, ever, one limited time. Ushmuel Amar lo hitir l'ruchotz el apanav yadav v'raglav. Shmuel comes along and says, no. Water that was heated from before Shabbat, you can only wash your face, your legs, and your feet. So that's the machloket. Meti be'er, Gemara has a question. Hamin shu hamu me'ereb Shabbat. You have water that was heated from before Shabbat. Le'machar rochetz ben panav yadav v'raglav. So clearly the Braita here says that water that was heated before Shabbat, you can only wash panav yadav v'raglav. Aval lo kol gufo. But you cannot wash your whole body. This is a question on Rav, because Rav said you can wash your whole body. Amalecha Rav, lo kol gufo bebat achat. Yes, when the Braita said you can't wash kol gufo, it means in one shot. Avela ever. But it means what? You can go limb by limb. How can you say that? Be'apanav yadav v'raglav ketani. It says befirush in the Braita that you can only do panav yadav v'raglav. Say Rav will answer, and panav yadav v'raglav. It means like panav yadav v'raglav, meaning just like panav yadav v'raglav you do individually, so too the rest of the body parts you can do individually. So that way he can answer that braita. Tashema lo hitiru lirchotz b'chamin shuhamu me'ereb Shabbat. It says that they did not allow you to bathe with water that was heated me'ereb Shabbat, ela panav yadav v'raglav. Only panav yadav v'raglav. That's a question on Rav. Let's know. Again, I'll say the same thing. Like panav yadav v'raglav, meaning you could do your whole body, but like panav yadav v'raglav, meaning you have to do it separately, each body part. So far, Rav is able to answer his questions. Tanya kevatei d'Shmuel. But now we bring a definite proof from a braita according to the pin of Shmuel that says only panav yadav v'raglav. Hamid shuhamu me'ereb Shabbat. Water that was heated me'ereb Shabbat. Lemahar rochetz pein panav yadav v'raglav, aval lo kol gufo ever. Clearly, he can only wash panav yadav v'raglav and not his whole body, even one limited time. So that's clearly a proof to Shmuel. The answer is klomar, and it goes without saying, hamin shu hamu biyom tov. Also, water that was heated on Yom Tov, you cannot also take a full body shower. Why? Because on Yom Tov, full body is not considered a hana'ah ha-shaveh l'chol nefesh. Meaning the only thing that's permissible on Yom Tov, it has to be something that is considered a hana'ah for all people. All people, for example, have a hana'ah in eating. Therefore, mutar to cook on Yom Tov. However, taking a full shower, that's not considered hanash shaveh lechol nefesh, and therefore they only allow panav yadav v'raglav. So again, ve'etzrik lomar hamid shuhama b'yom tov. So that's the machlok between Rav and Shmuel. Rav will say you could do kol gufo ebed ebed, and Shmuel says only panav yadav v'raglav on maim shuhamu me'erev Shabbat. Comes the Gemara and says, Rabbah had a different version of Rav's statement. Hamin shuhamu me'ereb Shabbat. Hamin that was water that was heated me'ereb Shabbat. Lemachar amar Rav rochetz ben kol gufo u'mishayer ever echad. He learns Rav that says, no, you can wash your whole body simultaneously. You just have to leave one body part out. For example, just leave your hand out of the shower and bathe your whole the rest of your body. So that's much different. So comes again one of those, Itti eti be kol haneti yufta. Now we're going to ask all those questions from those previous braitot on Rav. And the Gemara says, Tiyufta. And he's going to be refuted based on those braitot. Because you can't answer the braitot like you're going to answer over here. Why? That she tells you, Eti ve kolane, ve leka leshenu yekein panav yadav v'raglav. You can't answer when it says panav yadav v'raglav that it means your whole body like panav yadav v'raglav. I mean one evid at a time. Because he says you're allowed to do the whole body at one time, except for one limb. So therefore, those questions, according to this version of Rav, become a refutation to Rav. So comes the Gemara and says, Amar le Rabbi Yosef la Abaye. Rabbi Yosef told Abaye, Rabba mi ka'avid kishmate de Rav. Did Rabba himself follow Rav the way he understood him? Meaning, the Gemara says, Abaye was raised by Rabba. Like we learned, Abaye was a yatom. He was an orphan. Rabba raised him. Now, Rabba died before Abaye, and Rabbi Yosef became the Rosh Hashiva. So Rabbi Yosef would ask Abaye how Rabba used to practice in certain things. So Rabbi Yosef came to Abaye and said, listen, we know Abaye explained Rav that you're allowed to take a full bathing so long as you leave one body part out. That's the way Rabba explained Rav. Do you know if Rabba himself actually practiced it? Did he actually do it? So the Gemara says, Amar le la yadana. So Abaye says, the truth is I really don't know. So the Gemara says, Mai tif'ile. What was Rabbi Yosef asking? Pshita de lo avid. Of course he didn't follow Rav's opinion. Teha itotav. Didn't we just refute him? Didn't we bring braitot that refute him? So how could you say Rabba followed Rav's opinion when it was refuted? The Gemara says, no, lo shmi'ale. Gemara says, maybe he didn't hear the refutations. Which is, it's the Gemara that refuted it. Maybe Rabba himself did not hear those braitot that knocked it out. So the Gemara says, vi'i lo shmi'ale. So if he didn't hear it, vadai avid. Then I'll tell you the other way. For sure he followed Rav. Why for sure he followed Rav? The Amar Abaye, because Abaye said, Kol mile de mor avid kerav. Rabba, who was mor, Rabba always followed Rav, bar mahanet lat, except for three cases, the avid kishmuel, that he followed Shmuel. And what are those three cases? Matilin sisit mebeged de beged, which means you're able to take sisit from one garment and put it on another garment, the beged, umadikin mener lener, like we learned earlier in the second perek, you're allowed to light from one ner to another, v'alakha k'rabi shim'on b'girera, and alakha falls k'rabi shim'on, that why you can drag a bed over on the ground on Shabbat, even though you make a furrow since you're not mitkavin. So now that should answer the question, which means Rav always followed Rabba, always followed Rav, except in these three cases. So there's your answer. Besides these three, he followed Rav. So therefore he must have followed Rav as well regarding his deen in the bathing on Shabbat with the water of Shabbat. So what's the question? So comes the Gemara and says, no, Kechumre de Rav Avid, Kekule de Rav Lo Avid. Which means, these three cases that Rav followed Shmuel, meaning Madikim en Elener, Matim Sid, Litsit, Beged, Beged, Rabbi Shimon, Gerera, those are leniencies. Those are three cases where Rabba, instead of following Rav Lachmir, took Shmuel Lakel. But as a general rule, Rabba always was Mahmir like Rav. That's the rule you can draw from this. In Chumrot, he always took Rav. In Kulot, however, we don't know if he always took Rav. In Kulot, sometimes he took Rav, sometimes he took Shmuel. So therefore, this proof over here does not really tell us anything on what Rabba did he actually practice the opinion of Rav. We know for sure he only practiced them when it came to Chumrot, except for three cases. But when it came to kunot, like the case of the showering, Rav is a mekel over here. Rav is telling you can shower your whole body except for one body part. So we have no proof. So the Gemara leaves it. We really don't know if Rabbah actually practiced like Rav or not. That already the question that Rabbi Yosef asked. He does not get an answer to that. Comes the Gemara and says, Tanu Rabbanan, we have a Braita. Merhat shepekako nekavah me'ayrim Shabbat. Now, you have a merhat, a bathhouse, that they plugged up its holes me'ayrim Shabbat. Now, you can probably see a picture in your Pirush Chai, which would probably be beneficial. Basically, the way I understand it is that they had... Okay, I'm looking at the picture. You had the bath on, let's say, the first floor, and you had in the basement coals burning, where the fire was burning, and the smoke would rise up in order to heat the water that was above it. And actually, it would go through, I guess... through the vents. So what you're doing is, Me'ayrim Shabbat, you're closing the vents. How do you close the vents? You pokek it. You seal it up. If you want to look at the picture in 329. Actually, 330 shows the vents closed. So the smoke cannot rise up into the ambati, into the bath. Okay, so that's the story. So the Gemara says, Menhatz shepekako nekavad Me'ayrim Shabbat. You closed its vents before Shabbat. The Motzei Shabbat rochetz bo miyad. So since this ambati was not being heated on Shabbat, now Saturday night, person wants to take a hot bath, you can jump right in. Because bottom line, since no isur was being done to it on Shabbat, was not being heated on Shabbat, so therefore there's no reason why it should be forbidden to use it on Motzei Shabbat immediately. However, Rashi points out, but if they didn't, let's say they left it open, so now you're benefiting on Saturday night, Motzei Shabbat, from something that was done on Shabbat. So the deen would be you'd have to wait the amount of time that it would take to heat up that water had it not been heated up on Shabbat. So that's like a knas that the rabbis make. You have to wait. Whatever the shiur is, comes the Gemara and says, Gemara continues. Pekako nekavad me'ayrev yom tov. If let's say you stopped up the vents, me'ayrev yom tov from before yom tov, lemachar nechnas umaziya. So you're allowed to enter the bathhouse on yom tov, and you're actually allowed to sweat. You're allowed to take a steam, so to speak. You just sit there and you sweat. Biyotze. Then you could leave the bathhouse. Umishtatef bebet ha'itzon. And you can take a shower in the outer chamber. Rashi. Umishtatef bebet ha'itzon. Shelefna merchas. So on Yom Tov, you can take a steam, but you cannot shower inside where the bathhouse is. You have to do it outside. Rashi says, Ve'lo betoch ha'merchas. Shelo yomru rochetsu. Because we don't want the people to think that he's using the water on Yom Tov. Which means it seems for some reason, which we don't know yet, it's forbidden to take a shower in the Merchatz on Yom Tov. So what do they allow you to do on Yom Tov? To take a Ze'a Mutar. Full shower, no. Oh, but if you want to take a full shower, you could do it outside. She says, what is considered Ze'a? Omed or Yoshim Bet HaMerchatz. He just stands there or he sits there in the Merchatz. He doesn't put any water on him. And he just sits there and sweats. Okay, so let's just review the dinim over here. On Shabbat itself, if you plugged it up, you can't do anything in the Merchatz. Actually, the Gemara here doesn't discuss what about going in for a steam. Tosfot points out that taking a steam on Shabbat would also be permissible. The Gemara just said it by Yom Tov, but Hu Adin Shabbat. So technically on Shabbat and Yom Tov, you can go for the steam. But you would not be allowed to actually use the water for a full bath. If it was sealed up, Motzei Shabbat, you could use it immediately. No problem. Why? You're not benefiting from anything that was done on Shabbat. If it wasn't sealed up, but say Shabbat, you have to wait. Beautiful. So let's read that again. Let's start from the Tanu Rabbanan again. Tanu Rabbanan. Mirhat shepikako nekabav. You sealed its vents. Me'ayrev Shabbat from Me'ayrev Shabbat. Le'motzei Shabbat u'chaz bo miyad. Motzei Shabbat, you can use it immediately. Pikako nekabav. If you open the vents will open on Shabbat. So me'ayrev Yom Tov, from before Yom Tov. Again, you seal the vents. Pikako nekabav. You seal the vents. Me'ayrev Yom Tov. Le'machan nechnasu maziyah. You can go use it as a steam room. Ve'yotzei v'shtateh pebet ha'chitzon. You could bathe in the outer room. Amar Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says, Ma'aseh. Be'merhas shel b'nei Berak. There was a mirhas in Bnei Berak, a bare thousand Bnei Berak, shepakakoni kabab me'erev Yom Tov, that they closed the vents from Erev Yom Tov. Lemachar, the next day, nechnas Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Rabbi Akiba on Yom Tov, v'izi obo. They went for a steam. V'yatsud, and they went out the outer chamber. V'nish tatefu v'bet ha'itzun, and they showered in the outer chamber. Ela, but you should know, shehamin shelo mechupin bin sarim, that the the mirchas itself was covered with boards, okay, which means over the mikveh, where the water was, there were boards that were over it. Now, what do those boards mean? There was no question that nobody could think that this water was heated on Yom Tov, because it was practically closed. You couldn't actually even get in there. The boards were covering the water. So therefore, the rabbis over here are telling us a little stringency, that the reason why they allowed themselves to go in and take a steam and then go out in the outer room and shower, why? Because nobody could make a mistake over that this water was heated on Shabbat, on Yom Tov. Why? Because the boards were covering the menhats. Now, Tosafot understands what type of shower did they take in the outer room. Tosafot speaks out on the bottom, v'nishtatefu betzonin. They took a cold shower in the outer room. But they weren't worried about anybody thinking that they took a hot shower, because everybody saw the boards on top of the closed, as if they saw the bath was closed, so that's what they did. So the rabbis come along and said, "Kishibat." When the rabbis heard about that story, Amru afapish en chamin shelo mechupin benitzarim. They didn't have to be so machmir. Even if the merchatz was not filled with boards, it's still permissible. Which means you're allowed to sit in the steam. We didn't make a gizra on steam, and to go in the outer room and take a cold shower. We didn't suspect that anybody's going to think that it was heated on Shabbat, even if there's no board. So long as what? So long as the vents were closed. So therefore, that was a stringency that, well, maybe it wasn't even a stringency. They were just telling us the story that that's what it was. So they were saying that you didn't need that extra thing that the boards were on top of the mikveh. So long as the vents were sealed from before Yom Tov, the steam is permissible, and you can take a cold shower in the outer room. Oh, now we get to the gezerot. Umeshenabu of the avera. Once already, the sinners started to become plenty. Hitchilu the esor ambatiyot shel kirachin. Then already, the rabbis forbade to use the ambatiyot, the bathhouses of kirachin of the cities. Rashi, hitchilu the esor etazeah. They already forbade even going for a steam. But if the person wanted to, let's say, take a walk in the bathhouses, it seemed the bathhouses in the olden days were very big. They were airy. So, people used to take, let's say, like a walk. So to stroll through it, it's okay. Okay? So now already we see that it got to a point where even taking ze'ah became forbidden. So the Gemara says, "My ovre avera." What were these sinners? What were they doing? These sinners that caused the rabbis to be so stringent? The Amar Bishmo Min Pazi, Amar Bishmo Min Nevi, Mishum Bar Kapara. Betechila Ayu Rochatzin Bechamin Chuchamu Me'erev Shabbat. Originally, the halakha was you're allowed to bathe full body in water that was heated from before Shabbat. Hitchilu Abalanim Le'achem BeShabbat. So the attendants in the bathhouse started to heat up water on Shabbat. Ve'omri Me'erev Shabbat Chuchamu. And they would say, yeah, we did it from before Shabbat. So what did the rabbis do? Asru et hachamin, v'etiru et hazi'ah. Fine, so they said, that's it. All hot water baths, I don't care when it's heated, is asur, but steaming is still permissible. V'adayin ayu rochatzin b'chamin. What were the people doing? They were bathing in water that was heated from before Shabbat, which now became forbidden. And what were they saying? They said, oh, we're just taking a steam. Yeah, what are you all wet for? Ah, I went for a steam. Meanwhile, they were taking a bath in water that was heated from before Shabbat, which was already the rabbis were all said. So the rabbi said, finish. You're taking advantage. Ya'ah is also asur. V'etiru hamet tiberia. However, the Tiberias hot springs, they allowed. Which means they weren't gozer on a natural spring. Which means it would be permissible to go bathe over there. V'adayin ayuru hatsin b'chame ha'ur. So what were they doing? They were taking baths in the bathhouses. V'omrim b'chame tiberia lachatznu. And they were saying, yeah, we just came back from the Tiberias hot springs. So therefore, what the rabbis have to do? Asru lam chamei teberia. The rabbis forbade for them chamei teberia as well. V'etiru lahen et tatzonen. And the only thing they allowed them to do was take
cold water.
Ra'u she'en adavar omed lahen. But the rabbis saw that this was a very big gezerah. People needed to take hot baths, and by not allowing chamei teberia, that was already too much. Hetiru lahen chamei teberia. Fine, so the rabbis brought back chamei teberia. The ze'ah bin koma omedet, but they still forbade ze'ah. So therefore, it comes out according to the bottom line of the gezerot here: water that's heated from before Shabbat, it is forbidden to do to take a bath with that water. It's forbidden to use that water. All the more so water that was heated on Shabbat in the bathhouse, for that matter, would be asur as well to take a steam in that bathhouse. And for that matter, on Yom Tov also, it seems, even though it doesn't say Mifirush over here, there's Machloket Yishonim on this, that on Yom Tov as well, they were osir the Ze'ah. Oh, so when it came to water that was heated from before Shabbat, they were only osir full body. However, Panavi Adav Aglav, they were lenient. Because that's, when they used to go to the bathhouse, they used to go full body. So that's what the rabbis were osir. So comes the Gemara and says, Amar Rava. Rava says, Hayman de'avar ad Rabbanan. A person that transgresses an Isur de Rabbanan, a rabbinical enactment. Share le mekre le avaryana. You're allowed to call the guy an avaryan. You can call him a sinner. Keman. Who's that going like? Ki hay tana. It's going like the Tana we just read. Why? We just read that it said in the statement, Mishirabu ha'avaryanim. It says when the avaryanim started to become plenty. Actually, it says, Mishirabu ovre avera. Now, what was the ovre avera? What were they doing? The rabbis forbade the water that's heated from before Shabbat. Right? But they allowed Ze'ah. So these guys were coming along, and what were they doing? They were taking baths on water that was heated before Shabbat, which is really only the Rabbanan. That was the Gezerah itself. The Isur Doraita is what? Water that's heated on Shabbat. That's already Asur to do. They made a Gezerah that not only water that's heated on Shabbat, but they made a gezerah, they said water heated before Shabbat, you can't use. Good. So what were these guys doing now? They started to use water that was heated before Shabbat, and then come along and say, we're just taking a steam. And what does the Braita call these people? Mishanabu ovre avera. So you see that if a person even goes against a rabbinical gezerah, you're able to call him an avaryan. Ki hay tana, like this tana. Let's read that in Nashi on the top, please. Ki aitana de'amal le'aymesh hitchidu avre avera hitchidu le'esor azia v'arelo ne'esra ela ayedeh aruchatzin b'chamin me'etmol ve'omrim mazi'ima anachmo ve'en kan ela avera divrehem she'asru v'tachamin. Exactly, they only transgressed avera midrabbanan that they will ser chamin shuhamu me'ayrib Shabbat. Comes the Gemara and says, Ambatiyot shel kirachim, the bathhouses in the big cities, mitayel b'hem ve'enu choshesh.
You can take a tour in them, meaning you can walk through them on Shabbat, and you don't have to worry.
Mutar. Amaraba davka kerachim.
It's only of the big cities.
Aval the kfarim, but of the small villages, lo.
You cannot take a tour through them.
My ta'ama, kevan de zutrin, since they're very small, nafish ablayhu.
They're very, very hot. And if even walking through it is like taking a steam. It seems in the big cities they were airy, they were open, so to walk through it doesn't look like you're taking a steam. But in the small villages, it would be forbidden even to walk through.
Comes again and says, Tanu Rabbanan, we have a braita. Mithamem Adam keneged medora.
Person is allowed to sit next to the fireplace on Shabbat. He can warm himself up.
V'yotze,
then he can walk away.
U'mishtatep pitzonin,
and then he can take a cold shower. And we're not worried about his hot body heating up the cold water. It does not going to get that hot where he's going to, you know, cook any water. So you can sit next to the fire and then take a cold shower.
U'bilvad, however, shelo yishtatef pitzonin.
But you can't do the opposite. You can't take a cold shower and then go sit by the fireplace. Why? Because you're warming up the water that's on you.
Now, what does that mean?
Does that mean you're warming it up, but you're cooking?
No, it doesn't say you're cooking the water.
How close is the guy sitting? He's not going to burn himself. So what's the suit of it? So I have some droplets on my body. I can't next to the fire.
So look at Tosfot. The top Tosfot says, "Ve'achad asurim mifaresh liibad de domek kerochetz b'mayim hamim ve'yabon lehamim hamim nerchotz gufo."
It's a gezerah here. When you're sitting next to the fireplace with water on you, and the water is getting a little warm, it looks like you're bathing in hot water.
You didn't do an action, you're just sitting.
But with the water on you, and the fireplace working, and it's warming you up, so it looks like you're taking a hot bath or shower on Shabbat. So the rabbi said, if we're allowed to do this, he's going to come and maybe heat up water on Shabbat to take a bath or a shower. So therefore that would be forbidden. So it's a gezerah, because it looks like you are bathing on Shabbat with hot water.
The domek kirochetz b'mayim hamim.
Okay? That's the way Tosfot understand that.
Gezerah. Tanu Rabbanan. We have a braita. Meham Adam aluntit.
A person is able to heat up an aluntit. We'll call that a towel.
Umaniha al bene me'ayim b'shabbat.
And he could place it on his intestines, on his stomach, on Shabbat. It's a heated towel. He wants to put it on his intestines, he has a stomach ache, let's say, it's permissible.
As she says, it's beneficial.
But don't bring a jug of mayim hamim, of hot water. Why? What's the yisud of taking, let's say, a hot water bottle and putting it on his stomach on Shabbat?
So that she says, "Shemi yishafchu alav."
We're worried. Maybe the bottle's going to open, and it's going to spill on him. So let it spill on him. What's the problem?
V'nimsaru ches b'shabbat b'hamim.
Amazing. It's going to fall on him, and it's going to look like he's bathing in hot water. It's a little strange, even though really it's not a full body over here. I mean, it's part of, you know, it's only a little part of his body. So the Mefarshim explained in Rashi that we're talking about water that was heated up on Shabbat. Let's say water that was heated up beheter, in whatever cases it was, water that was heated up beheter on Shabbat. So water that's heated on Shabbat, even part of the body is asud to use. So therefore, if you're going to put this hot water bottle of water that was heated on Shabbat on your stomach on Shabbat, we're worried that it might open up and it's going to fall on you. It's like the haiza. Now, the Gemara concludes on this statement, says, "V'davar zeh afilu b'chol asur." Says, by the way, it's not advisable to use this hot water bottle even during the week. Why?
Mipnei ha-sakana.
You know, since there's a chance for it to open up, now you're going to just have boiling hot water, scald your body, so that's already dangerous. So on Shabbat you have the halachic issues, during the week you have the sakana issues. That's the way that she learns this sugya.
Tosafot has a different explanation, let's read it inside. Second Tosafot on the daf. Ubelvad shelo yavi kumkumus. Pirush. Kol zeman she'alon tisham.
Means when can you bring the hot water bottle? So long as the towel is still on his stomach.
Because what are you worried about? Shimmi yiplu amayim ala aluntit.
You're worried that the water bottle might open up on the aluntit
via ateli deschita,
and you might come and squeeze out the towel. That's the issue over there, according to Tosafot. Which means a hot water bottle alone, according to Tosafot, mutar. The issue is a hot water bottle with the aluntit. That's already could come to deschita.
Inamet Tosafot says different answer. Lo yavi mishum refuah.
We don't want you to bring the water bottle and put it on your stomach because that's considered medicine. Now we know refuah is forbidden on Shabbat. Why is refuah forbidden? Refuah is forbidden because you might come to grind up the medicine, the spices. So therefore, you cannot bring it. However, the towel, the Tosfot says, "Lo mehsik refuah kol kach." That doesn't look like such a refuah, putting a hot towel on his stomach. But you put this water bottle, that already looks serious. So the issue over here is a refuah issue. You could put the hot towel, but don't put the hot water bottle, the kumkumus, because of the issue of refuah. I mean, you have nafkamina, according to this, comes out. Let's say you would have a hot water bottle that's sealed very, very tight. According to Rashi, should be permissible. Since all gizraz, why it might open up and it's chitza. According to Tosafot, I don't care how tight it is. The issue is when you put a hot water bottle on your stomach, it's domeh to refuah. It's nothing to do with the tight or not tight. And therefore it would be a suit. So you have nafkamina between Rashi and Tosafot on a tight water bottle. In the second answer of the Tosafot comes the Gemara and gives the next case. Tanu Rabanan, mevi adam kiton mayim. A person is able to bring a kiton mayim. That would be, let's say, a jug of water. Umanicho keneged medorah, and he could place the jug of cold water next to the fire. Lo b'shvil shiyahamu. Not in order for them to heat up. Of course, we don't want a person to cook on Shabbat. In order to take out its chill, in order to take to weaken the chill. Now, what's the hadush over here? She's well, taking out the chill, obviously, is no problem because she didn't cook it. What do I need a statement like that for? Because hadush is because you're putting it in a place where technically, if you leave it there, it could get to cooking. So you might have argued and said, no. This place over here, it can get cooked. Maybe you're not even allowed to stand there and you'll take it away before it gets cooked. Gemara says it's permissible. Now how do we know that you're putting it in a place that's so close that it can get cooked? How do we know that? I just said that on my own. How do I know that? Look at Rashi. Rashi says, Ela shetafik sinatan. Actually, lo b'shvil sheyibashel. Lo tanihenu sham kede bishul shetei hayad soledet bo. Which means, Rashi, don't leave it there until it gets cooked to yad soledet bo. Implying that what? That if you did leave it there, it would get cooked. Mm-hmm. So Rashi's telling us it's very important, shita v'Rashi. Rashi would hold, and you could take liquid, place it right next to the fire, not on the fire. It's only next to the fire. And stand there and wait and take it away immediately before it reaches the shi'ud of cooking. Tosafot later on in Daf Mem Chayet is going to clearly argue on this. Tosafot's going to say no. If it's in a place where it can get yad soledet bo, hot, even if you're watching it, you cannot do it. It's got to be in a spot where even if you leave it there all day, it'll never get to yad soledet bo. It's a very important machloket. Rashi v'Tosfot. Here you see Shitat Rashi. That even if it's close enough to get hot, it is permissible so long as you take it away before. So let's read that inside again in the Gemara, boys. Tanu Rabanan. Mevi adam kiton mayim, umanicho keneged medorah. Lo b'shvil sheyihamu, ela b'shvil shetafik sinatan. Rabbi Yehuda omer. Rabbi Yehuda says, Mevi'a isha pach shel shemen. Rabbi Yehuda says you can take a pak shel shemen, a jug of oil, umanihato keneged medorah,
And you can also place it next to the fire. Lo b'shvil sheyibasher, of course, not in order for you to cook it. Ela b'shvil sheyifasher, in order just to warm it up. Rabban Shimon Gamliel omer, isha sacha yada shemen. A lady is allowed to put oil on her arms, meaning she's allowed to anoint herself with oil. Umehammemata keneged amidura, and she's able to now sit in front of the fire. Or the sachal libna katan, she could anoint her little child. Ve'ena hosheshet, and she doesn't have to worry. So basically, we have three opinions in this braita. Let's review the opinions. Tanakama says you could bring water and put it next to the medura. Tanakama did not mention oil. We have to see what Tanakama holds by oil. He just mentioned water. We have the second shita, which is Rabbi Yehuda. He says, no, you can actually take a jug of oil, put it next to the medura, but only for it to become hefshir, to become warm, not to get it cooked. Rabban Shimon Gamliel says, it seems you can't even do that. But if you're wearing the oil, meaning you're anointing yourself, then it would be permissible to sit in front of the medura. So we have to understand these opinions. Let's look at Rashi. Sacha yada, aval lafshiro bepach kederich she'oseh bechol lo, ufalig ad Rabbi Yehuda, which means it seems Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel's opinion is that since normally during the week the way you prepare the oil is you warm it up, so warming it up would be on Shabbat, let's say, asur midrabbanan, according to Rabban Shimon Gamliel. We don't want you to do it. That's the way you do, only do it during the week. However, if you do it in a shinui way, how could I warm up oil in a shinui way? Well, instead of putting the jug there, the Rabban Shimon Gamliel say, just put it on you, and now you're warming it up as it's on you. So that would be the opinion of Rabban Shimon Gamliel. Rabbi Yehuda is a little more lenient. Rabbi Yehuda will say, no, you can actually keep it in the jug, and you can actually warm it up. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it seems that warming up oil is not a problem. Now, the question is, what did Tanakama hold? Tanakama said you can put the water in front of the fire, but he didn't discuss oil. So the Gemara asks, Ibayilehu, Shemen ma'u le Tanakama. What is the din of Shemen according to Tanakama? Rabbah and Rabbi Yosef tamit tarvayu lehetera. Rabbah and Rabbi Yosef come along and say, Tanakama says, mutar, no problem. Rabbi Nachman bar Yitzhak amar isura. Rabbi Nachman bar Yitzhak says, no, oil is asur. So we have an extreme machloka there. Rabbah and Rabbi Yosef, oil mutar. Rabbi Nachman bar Yitzhak, oil asur. Gemara explains. Rabbah and Rabbi Yosef tamit tarvayu lehetera. What's the logic? Shemen afal pi shayad soledet bo mutar. Even if you took oil and you boil it to scalding, it's not considered cooking. Kasamar Tanakama. What's the logic of Tanakama? Shemen en bo mishum bishul. What's the logic? To be hayavan bishul, you have to make it better. Cooking a food, for example, enhances it, makes it better. By cooking an oil, it that doesn't do anything to the oil. It doesn't enhance it. And therefore, Tanakama says, you can put the oil next to the fire until it gets boiling hot. There's no bishul by oil. That's what Rabbah and Rabbi Yosef is saying. The atar b'yudah l'memar. No, but Rabbi Yehuda comes along and says, no, Tanakama, I argue with you. Shemin yesh bo mishul bishul. I hold that shemin can get cooked. Ve'efshero lo zehu bishul. No, but efshero is not considered bishul. Therefore, you could put it next to the fire up until it becomes warm. Because Rabbi Yehuda says, no, oil is subject to the laws of cooking. That's the mahalok between Rabbi Yehuda and Tanakama. V'ata Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel le'memar, shemen yesh bo mishum bishul. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel comes along and says, you know what? I say, I agree with you, Rabbi Yehuda, that yes, shemen is subject to bishul. However, I'm more mahmid than you. I say, ve'efshero zehu bishulo. That the bishul of shemen is even hefsher. Now that would be Esud Rabbanan, I want to point out. And for that reason, he says that I'll let you wear it, and since you're now warming it up Bederech Shinui, meaning you're doing it in a not normal fashion, so it would be permissible. So let's review Rabba, his opinion, the way I learned the Braita. Rabba will come along and say, Tanakama says, you cannot put water next to the, you cannot heat up water on Shabbat. Obviously, water is considered subject to the laws of cooking. However, if you mafshir it, it's okay. Take out the chill next to the fire, is okay. Oil, which Tanakama did not discuss, mutar. Put it next to the fire, let it get hot, no problem. Why? There's no bishul by oil. Rabbi Yehuda comes along and says, no, I argue. There is bishul of oil. However, I hold that warming up oil is no problem. Therefore, I allow you to put it next to the fire to the state where it gets warmed up. Comes Rabban Shimon and says, I agree that there's cooking by oil, and I'm more mahmid than you. I say even warming it up is yisud Rabbanan. Therefore, you can't leave it there. However, if you did a shinui, meaning if you wore the oil, for example, you put the oil on, that's not the normal way to heat up oil, so I'll waive the yisud Rabbanan and allow the lady to sit next to the fire with the oil on her in order for her to warm it. Rav Nachman bar Yitzhak amar le'isura. Rav Nachman bar Yitzhak understands the opinion of Tanakama that oil is forbidden to cook on Shabbat. Shemen afal pi she'ena yad soledet bo asur. And not only if it reaches the level of getting hot so much that by touching it your hand recoils from it, even less than that is asur. Kasaba, because he holds, shemen yesh bo mishum bishul. Shemen is subject to the laws of bishul. Ve'efshero zehu bishulo. And even if shed, even warming it up, that which makes the shemen mevushal. And therefore Tanakama says, water you could put next to the fire in order to let it become warm, because by water there is no isur of warming it. There's isur of making it yatsoled, it's so hot that your hand recoils when you touch it. However, when it comes to shemen, the reason why Tanakama did not discuss it, because they hold it is subject to the laws of bishul, but a stricter level of bishul, even at the level of warming it up. That's considered the bishul of oil. Therefore, that is forbidden. And Rabbi Yehuda comes along and says, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you can place a flask of oil next to the fire, even though it will get warmed up, because only when you actually heat it up to Yad Soledet Po, it's a problem. But the hefshed, the warming it up, is not a problem. The atar, Rabban Shimon Gamliel Lememar, shemen yesh po mishum bishul. And Nashbag comes along and says, no, shemen has bishul, it's subject to it. Vehefshero zehu bishulo. And he says that what? That the bishul of it is warming it up. So the Gemara asks, Rabban Shimon Gamliel Hanu Tanakama. Which means the first Shita Tanakama and Rabban Shimon Gamliel are basically saying the same thing. That shemen is subject to cooking, and its cooking is at the hefsher level, at the warming level. So what's the difference between Tanakama and the Bat Shimon Gamliel? Hikabinayu kelachar yad. The difference between them is if you do it in an unusual manner. Which means Rabban Shimon Gamliel said, if the lady wants to anoint herself with oil and then stand in front of the fire, and by that the oil is going to become warmed up, that is permissible. Must be what? Must be that Nashbag holds that really hefsher, when you're warming up oil, it must be asur mid rabbanan, rabbinically asur. And therefore, since it's rabbinically asur, if you do it in an unusual manner, for example, you're not heating it up in a normal way, for example, putting it on your body, so that would be considered permissible. However, Tanakama says, no, even doing it in an unusual manner is going to be forbidden. Therefore, they forbid to heat up the oil under all circumstances. So that's the way Rav Nachman bar Yitzhak understands the Braita. That Hakamim discussed water, warming it up, because they hold only water but not oil, whether it's in a normal manner or even in an unusual manner, kalachar yad. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, hefsher is not considered cooking oil, therefore you can actually place the jug of oil right next to the fire to get it to become warm. While the Rabban Shimon Gamliel comes along and says, no, you cannot warm it up normally, in a normal manner, but if you put it on your body and stand in front, since it's considered kal achar yad, and if shed is only yisumid rabbanan, he holds it is mutar. But now we get to the halakha. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, echad shemen ve'echad mayim, whether it's oil, whether it's water, yad soledet bo asur. If it reaches the heat level, where if you touch it, your hand will push back, your hand will automatically go back because it doesn't want to burn itself. That's how hot the water is. It's called Yad Soledet. Soledet means Rashiz, Lashon, and Soledet would be Soledet Nimshechet La'achorav. the hand is drawn back mid'aga, from fear or worry, shelot tekaveh, that it will not burn. Yad soledet. So that's the shi'ur of heat that makes something obligated in bishul on Shabbat. If it got less than yad soledet, you would not be hayav in bishul. In yad soledet bo mutar. Right? If it's less than yad soledet bo mutar. So the Gemara says, ve'echi damei yad soledet bo. What is the level? How do you judge that? Which means the Gemara's question really is, yad soled is really subjective, because each person's hand has a different level. We need a more general understanding that's more universal for us to figure out this shirut of temperature. So the Gemara says, Amar rechava kol shekin esos shetinok nichvit. It's hot enough that the stomach of the baby will become burnt by, which means if you take a drop of that water and you put it on the baby's stomach, if it would burn the baby's stomach, which is sensitive, which is universal, baby's stomachs are sensitive, then already that's considered hot enough to be hayav of bishul. Less than that, mutar. Amar Rav Yitzchak bar Avdimi, Rav Yitzchak bar Avdimi said, Pam achat nichnasti achar Rabbi lebet haminchas. He says, one time I followed Rabbi into the Beit HaMinchas, into the bathhouse. Now, this was on Shabbat. Now, we learned earlier that the rabbis made a gezerah that you really cannot go into a bathhouse on Shabbat, not to bathe and not even to steam. So that she right away tells us, must be, this was talking about the Tiberias hot springs. Because even after all the gezerot of the Hachamim, they still allowed the people to go to Hamet Tiberia. So therefore, this must have been in the Tiberias hot springs. I wanted to take a flask of oil and place it in the bath, the ambati. Now the ambati is considered a kli rishon, which is that's an area, it's called the first vessel, that has the ability to cook things that you place in it. Now the rabbi, meaning Rav Yitzchak bar Avdimi, wanted to warm up the oil for the bee. The custom was, before they used to go into the bath, they used to anoint themselves with oil. That was the procedure. So he wanted to warm it up for him in order that the bee could place it on his body. So he figured to take it in the flask, drop it into the kli rishon, meaning into the bath itself, let it warm up and then take it out. The amar li, but the bee told me, tol bechli sheni veten, meaning take an empty flask, fill it up from water from the bath, that keli will be considered a second vessel, a kli sheni, and then take the flask of oil and place it in the second vessel. That was the conversation that took place in the Merchatz. So the Gemara says, Shmat mina tlat. From this story we can learn three things, three halachot. Shmat mina shemen yezbo mishum bishul. First of all, we see that shemen is subject to cooking, which means from the fact that the rabbi told him, don't put it in a kli rishon, that obviously because he was concerned that the shemen can become cooked. Which means we learned earlier there was one opinion, which means Rabbah and Rabbi Yosef held, according to Tanakama, that shemen is not subject to cooking. So you see from this story that we don't go like that. We see clearly that B at least held that shemen is subject to cooking. That's why he did not allow him to put it in the kli rishon waters. Vishmach mina kli sheni eno mevashel. And you also see that what? A second vessel does not have the ability to cook. Because he told them, take the flask of oil and put it in a kli sheni. Now, what's the logic why a kli sheni doesn't cook? So the Tosafot in the Bura Matril, Vishmach mina kli sheni eno mevashel, says, what do you mean? Sometimes if you look at the heat that's coming out of a kli sheni, it's just as hot as a kli rishon. Just think about it. You're taking something that's in a kli rishon boiling hot. Just by pouring it into a second vessel, really doesn't do too much to the heat, which means it's still boiling hot. So why does a kli sheni not have the ability to cook? So Tosafot says a very important yesod. He says, Lefi shekli rishon mitoch she'amad al ha'ur. The kli rishon usually is the pot that stood on the fire, dofnotav hamim. The walls of the pot also of the kli rishon are hot. And therefore it's able to maintain that level of heat for a long time, which means in conjunction with the heat of the water, plus the heat of the walls of the pot, so it maintains heat for a long time, it has an ability to cook. A kli sheni, however, you have to remember, the walls are cold. Those walls were not on the fire. So immediately, once you empty the contents of a kli rishon into a kli sheni, the walls right away give an immediate impact of coolness, and it's not able to maintain that level of heat for such a long time. Therefore, it does not have the ability to cook. So Tosafot's chiddush is it's the walls of the Kli Sheni that really give it the lack of ability to cook. So you know that from the story as well. From the fact that he told him to take the flask of oil and put it in a Kli Sheni, he said that Kli Sheni is not Bevashel. Vishmat mina, hefshero zehu bishulo. And you learn from this story as well that even warming up the oil is forbidden. That's considered bishul. Now where do you see that from? Because all the rabbi wanted to do, Rabbi Yitzhak Bar Avdimi, he just wanted to warm up the oil. He didn't have intention to heat the oil till it becomes Yad Soledet, and still Rabbi told him, don't put it in there. Now, Rashi explains, what was the Isur over here? Which means like this, we just learned earlier that if you want to place the oil next to the fire, we had opinions that said, so long as you take it away before it becomes hot, it's permissible. So why wouldn't he allow it to put it in the Kli Rishon? Because there's a difference. A Kli Rishon is an area that's normally used for cooking. That's like putting it on the fire. Putting something on the fire or directly in a Kli Rishon, since if it would reach Yad Soledet, you would be Hayav, so therefore we don't even allow you to put it in there to reach a level before Yad Soledet, even warming. Why? Because we don't want you to put it in a place like that, it might come to cook. So therefore, really, the level of cooking oil is like we learned above, Yad Soledet. But what? We're not going to allow you to place it in the Kli Rishon, in a place where it can reach that level, and it's a normal place to put it. So then, why? Even to reach the level of Hefsher. So that's what the Gemara means of Hefsher. Hefshero zeu bishulo, meaning in a Kli Rishon itself. But it would be permissible to take this oil and place it in front of the fire, because that's not a normal place where you put things to cook. But for example, on the fire itself, but that would be asu. So putting in the Kli Rishon would be like putting it in the fire itself. Even if your intention was only to take it out at the Hefsher level, at the warm level. So that's the three things. Let's review the three things. Number one, Shemen is subject to cooking. Number two, Kli Sheni is not Mevashel. And number three, that you cannot place it in a Kli Rishon in a place where it can get cooked in a Kli Rishon itself, even at the Hefsher level. Now the Aharonim all ask a question. So the rabbi told him to put it in the Kli Sheni. And the being submerged in the Kli Sheni will give it the ability to heat up. Now, we learned earlier that one of the things that are forbidden on Shabbat is called Hatmana. Hatmana means you're not allowed to insulate things on Shabbat. You're not allowed to insulate whether the insulation is just maintaining the heat, or certainly if the insulation is able to generate heat. Here, you're insulating. Which means, you're right, Kli Sheni does not have the ability to cook. So we got rid of the Bishul aspect. But by placing and submerging this Pach Shemen in hot water of a Kli Sheni, it's Domet Hatmana. That's a different Isur. But it should be Asur and Shabbat. How do they allow that? So there's different answers amongst the Haronim. One answer that Taz brings down is that you didn't submerge the entire bottle. So long as you keep some of the bottle outside, above the water level, that's not considered hatmana. Only when you submerge the entire bottle would it be considered hatmana. Mm-hmm. The Hazonish gives a different answer. Hazonish says, there's no hatmana in the liquid. There's no hatmana in food. Which means, you're making hatmana that's putting a garment around it, or you're putting different types of wrappings and coverings around it, a pot. However, taking a pach shemen and dropping it in water, that's not considered a normal hatmana. So it means according to the Chazon Ish, even if you would submerge it completely, the hatmana is not said by water. Comes the Gemara and continues, Hechi avin heche. How did Rabbi discuss halachot in the bathhouse? This is a side question now. Why? Ve'amar Rabba Bar Bar Hana, Amar Rav Yohanan, Bechol Makom Mutal Le'arher. Every place is permissible to have thoughts of the Vrei Torah, Chutz Mebet HaMerchas, except in a bathhouse, U'Bet HaKiseh in a bathroom. So therefore, he was discussing halachot, because he said, Tol B'Kli Sheni. So the Gemara says, V'chi Tema B'Lshon Chol, Amarle, maybe you'll say he said it in a foreign language, which is maybe you'll tell me it's only forbidden to converse Divrei Torah when you're speaking Lashon HaKodesh. But maybe if you speak Divrei Torah in, let's say, a foreign language, say Aramaic, maybe it's permissible. Gemara says no. Ve'amar Rabbeye, devarim shel chol mutar le'omnam b'lashon HaKodesh. Things, mundane things, you're allowed to speak in a bathhouse in Hebrew. However, shel kodesh asu le'omnam b'lashon chol. But Divrei Torah, holy things, you're not even allowed to speak them in a foreign language. So the question is, how did he do it? Now, incidentally, at this point in the Gemara, at a stage right before when the Gemara said, maybe he said it in a foreign language. That was the Gemara's question, right? So Tosfot asked, what does that help you? We still said it's forbidden to think Divrei Torah. Obviously, when you're saying it, you're also thinking it. So Tosfot says he must have been thinking it in a foreign language as well. Which means thinking Divrei Torah at this point would think maybe it's asur in Lashon HaKodesh. It shows you could think in different languages as well. So maybe he was thinking in a different language. The Gemara says it doesn't matter. When it comes to Divrei Torah, it's asur in all languages. So now the Gemara answers, Afroshem isur ashani. No, it was different over here. Here he was trying to stop somebody from making an isur. Which means true, really, in a regular minhag, you shouldn't have any conversation of Divrei Torah. But here, he was about to drop it into the hot waters of the Kli Rishon. If he would have done that, it would have been an Isur. So he needed to stop him. So to stop somebody from making a violation, you have to say, stop, it's forbidden. In this case, he told him, told the Kli Sheni, put it in a Kli Sheni. Teda, the Gemara will prove this to you from another story. The Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shemuel, Ma'aseh b'tamido shel Rabbi Meir. There was a story with the student of Rabbi Meir, Shenechnas Aharav leBet HaMidrash, and he also followed him in the Bet HaMidrash into the bathhouse. Ubikesh la'diyach karka, and the student wanted to clean the floor of the bath in order to make it clean before his rabbi would go in, before they fill it up with water. With Shabbat, la'amar lo en madichin. The rabbi told him, no, you're not allowed to clean the floor of the bath. Why? Because it was made out of dirt. And sometimes there was depressions, there was holes. And the Gezerah was that they were worried that you might come to fill the holes of the depressions in the ground on Shabbat. That would be considered building. You're filling a hole, that's considered boneh. So he told me, you're not allowed. Lasuk lo karka. So the student wanted to at least anoint the floor with some besamim, with some perfume, in order to give it a good smell, because the baths used to have a bad smell in those days. Amar lo en sachin. He told them, no, you can't do that as well. Because again, you're smoothing out the oil. What's going to end up happening? You're going to see a hole in the ground. You still might come to fill up the hole. Alma, what do you see from here? Afrushem isura shani. That it was permissible for him to tell him this in the Bet HaMerchas, because he was stopping him from doing any sur. Hachaname, here too also, by the case of Rabbi, when he told him, put in the klisheni, Lafrushem isura shani, to abstain him from doing any sur is different. So the Mefarshim, the Harim, ask a question. What did we learn more from the second story than the first story? Which means basically Rabbi Meir was allowed to stop somebody from doing any sur. Alright, we learned that from Rabbi. It's the first story. Are you just bringing another story to say the same thing? No. The second story tells us even a greater extent. Why? In the second story, the rabbi actually gave him the halakha explicitly. En madihin. That's already speaking explicitly the halakha. In the first story, he didn't really speak out an explicit halakha. He just told him, put it in a kli sheni. Now, from that statement, we can imply three halakhot. But it's not like he told him it's asur to put it in a kli rishon. So the second story teaches us even further that not only are you allowed to talk the Divrei Torah, but you don't have to talk it in a roundabout way. In order to stop somebody from Yisur, you can actually explicitly verbalize and say, you can't do it, it's Asur. Like the story of Rabbi Meir that he told them, En Madihin, and then he told them, En Sachin. Amar Avina, Shmat Mina. Well, you can learn from this story as well of Rabbi, when he went to the Merchatz, HaMevashel B'Hamei Tiberia B'Shabbat Hayav. That if somebody cooks in the Tiberias hot springs, it's going to be Hayav. Now, how do you know that Rabbi was in the Tiberias hot springs? All it says was that he was in a merchatz. So the Gemara says, well, we know Rabbi was at the time after the rabbis forbade bathing in all bathhouses. And the only bathhouse that the rabbis allowed was Hamei Tiberia. So if Rabbi was going to a bathhouse on Shabbat, must have been Hamei Tiberia. And what did he tell Rabbi Yitzhak Bar Avdimi in the bathhouse? Va'amar le, tol b'chli sheni v'ten. and he told him, take the oil and put it in a kli sheni, implying that if he would have put it in a kli rishon of the hamet emeria, he would be hayav. So you see what? One is subject to the laws of bishul by cooking in hamet emeria. So the Gemara says, Ini, we have a contradiction. Says, what do you mean? If you're cooking the Hamet Teberia, it's only forbidden from the rabbis. Patur aval asur. How did you tell me now that you learned that it's forbidden from the Torah? Whenever it says the word Hayav, Hayav means Hayav in a Torah. Patur means it's rabbinical. So make up your mind. How can Rav Chisda tell me Patur aval asur? So my Hayav, so he says, what did I mean when I told you before that you're Hayav for cooking? Named kamar makat mardut. I meant that you're Hayav lashes from the rabbis. Don't misinterpret the word hayav to mean hayav in a Torah. Really, you're right. Cooking in Hamet Teberia is only forbidden with Rabbanan. But you said hayav. Yeah, I meant what? Hayav lashes. Lashes from the rabbis. Now, why would cooking in Hamet Teberia be only asur with Rabbanan? Because as we learned earlier, that according to the Chachamim, where did the Hamet Teberia receive its heat from? So they said it's heated from the sun. Somehow the sun in its revolution is able to heat all the waters that are underground, and therefore the Hamet Teberia would be considered Toldat Hama. Now, we know that from the Torah, anything that's heated up from Toldat Hama is really not subject to the laws of Bishul. Only something that was heated up from fire. For example, if you heated up water with fire and you dropped an egg in there, that's considered cooking. But if you heated something from the sun and then use that to cook from the Torah law, that's not considered cooking. But the rabbis came along and said, Toldat Hama is forbidden rabbinically because people might come to cook in Toldat Ha'ur, which is a guy's going to see hot water. And it got heated from the sun. So he's going to come along and say, what's the difference if it got heated from the sun or got heated from a fire? Now, if you get heated from a fire, it's a sumin Torah. So therefore, the rabbis forbade also water that was heated from the sun to cook in it. Mm-hmm. Therefore, Hamet Teberia is Toldat Hama. Minat Torah, there would be no problem in cooking in Hamet Teberia. But what? It's Hayab, meaning Hayab Malkut, Medrabanan. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar Bizera. Bizera says, Ana Hazita Rabbi Abu. I saw Rav Abu, Deshat Be'ambati. I saw him swimming in a ambati, in a bath. I didn't know if he lifted his feet off the ground or he did not lift his feet off the ground. Meaning, the rabbis forbade swimming in a river on Shabbat. Why? Because they were concerned that a person might come to build a raft in order to float, a flotation device. He might build himself a life preserver. So therefore it's forbidden. So now, the Gemara tells the story of Rabbi Zera. He says, he saw Rav Abu, that was in a, wasn't in a lake, wasn't in a river, but it was in an ambati. It was in like a pool, like a bath, and he wasn't sure if he had his feet off the ground. Now, if he had his feet off the ground, that's considered like he's swimming. Or did he have his feet on the ground, which means he wasn't sure if the rabbi considers this ambati also subject to the gezerah of swimming on Shabbat, or maybe not. So he says, I don't know exactly if he was swimming or not. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Pshita de lo akar. It's obvious that his feet were on the ground, that his feet were not off the ground. Why? Detanya lo yashut adam beberecha melea mayim. A person is not allowed to swim in a pool filled with water, v'afilu omedet bechaser. Even if, let's say, the pool is in a private domain where there's no concern if you're going to, let's say, sprinkle water outside the pool that it's carrying, because in a private domain there's no issur of carrying. Even if it's in a private domain where we're not worried that you might displace water, still it's forbidden to swim. So the rabbis were saying, well, of course he had his feet on the ground. Which is, even if it was a private pool and then it was his backyard, and therefore you weren't concerned about him, let's say, displacing water, but still, it clearly says, Lo yashut adam b'berecha mila amayim. So what do you mean? You didn't know if his feet were on the ground or not. So the Gemara says, Nah, la kasha. That's not a question. Had let le gidude, had eat le gidude. Which means, when did the rabbis forbid swimming on Shabbat? Only in a place, delet le gidude, where it's a body of water that does not have walls around it. For example, like an open river or an open ocean. Then the rabbis made the gezerah. However, hadit le gidude, if it has walls, let's say, that contain the water inside, walls. If you look in your Pirush Chai, we don't have it in front of us, but you'll see the pictures of the walls, like a swimming pool, exactly. That's how you can picture it in your mind. A swimming pool that has the water and it's surrounded by walls. There, the rabbis did not make the gezerah of swimming on Shabbat. It's not dome to a lake, which is an open area. So therefore, they were telling the rabbi, when you saw him in the water over there, you didn't know if he had his feet on the ground or not. What do you mean? Of course he had his feet above the ground, which means you have no problem. Because bottom line, if it had walls around it, so therefore it was permissible for him to swim. The rabbis never made such a gezeran, such a thing. And that's the basic way that she understands the sugya. But the first pshat in that she's a little different. That she says, actually you can see what we're going to say right now if you want to look at it. That's in picture 337 in your Perush Chayes. You see, let le gedude, which means it's like there are no defined walls on the side of the water. It just, let's say, slopes in. You have, let's say, a ditch. It just has slopes into the ground, and the water is filled up to the top. That she says, what's the problem if there's no gedude? So he says, when you're going to walk in, your feet are going to push some dirt into the water, and when you take dry dirt and put it into the water, it's called gibul, which means you're making now a mixture of dirt and water, and that's like making a dough. And making a dough on Shabbat is forbidden. So that she says, let's read that inside. She'en sifatak givohashi wa'maim amukim etza sifatak ima be'emsa, which means the waters are shallow as you walk in because it slopes down. Right? There's no defined walls. So therefore, he says, when you get close to the edge, your feet are going to thrust some of the dirt, and it's going to make a hole, and you're going to end up kicking some of that dirt into the water. It's like gibul. However, if you have defined walls on the side, so therefore, it's straight walls. You're not going to kick any dirt into the water. That's the way that she understood in this first explanation. The second explanation, he says, that's the first explanation. The second explanation, which means nothing to do with gibul. Bottom line, does it look like a river or doesn't like a river? When it has defined walls on the side, the water is contained, it's like a keli, it's like in a vessel. Rabbi's never made a gezerah that you might come to make a floating device in a vessel. In a river, in an ocean, that's another story. So the rabbi that they saw, he was in a pool that had walls. He says, I don't know if he was floating, he wasn't. It doesn't matter, of course he had his feet up, even if you could say, because the rabbi never made a gezerah in such a case. Baruch Adonai L'Olam. Amen.